Wounded. From Battlefield to Blighty. 1914 to 1918. By Emily Mayhew. Read by Nigel Anthony. Introduction. Being wounded was one of the most common experiences of the Great War. On the Western Front, almost every other British soldier could expect to become a casualty, with physical injuries ranging in severity from light wounds to permanent, life-changing disabilities. Yet in the historical record of the First World War, the wounded, and the men and women who cared for them, are an undiscovered, somehow silenced group. As readers of Great War history, we have become accustomed to the noise of the blasting, thumping barrage, and the shrieks of officers' whistles, ordering the men over the top. We're much less accustomed to the sounds of the voices of the wounded. The scale and power of the fighting has drowned them out, but their stories deserve to be heard and understood, just as we've learned to listen to the words of the war poets for everything they can tell us about suffering and war. Much of what we do know about the wounded of the First World War comes from writers of fiction. Best-selling books such as Birdsong and Regeneration tell beautiful and moving stories of casualties, nurses and doctors, and the extraordinary play War Horse is set at a medical aid post where Joey and Topthorne pull ambulances. These works are based on detailed historical research, but they're not, nor are they intended to be, history. Wounded is about the real men and women who inspired these writers. It is a work of historical rediscovery, but it is not a conventional history. Like a novel, it uses a continuous narrative to interweave the testimonies of injured soldiers and stretcher-bearers, doctors and surgeons, nurses and chaplains, orderlies and hospital train staff, and volunteers in train stations in France and Britain. By bringing together all these different voices for the first time, the book guides the listener through the world of the wounded and those who cared for them. Writing Wounded in this unconventional way was not simply a question of preference for one representational style over another. As I researched the book, I came to realize that the only choice I had as an historian was to tell the story unconventionally, or not tell it at all. The conventional approach would require an analysis of the official archive of military medical operations during the Great War to create a comprehensive overview of the planning and process of medical care. Policy documents from the War Office would be meshed with implementation reports from the Army Medical Services. Treasury financial records would coordinate with Royal Army Medical Corps staffing reports. Hospital archives would align with casualty statistics. Finally, some personal testimony would be added to provide colour and human detail to the history of the huge operational undertaking. Yet such a conventional approach proved impossible for one simple reason. Very few of those documents are still available. Most of the material that was in the National Archives relating to the medical conduct of the war is gone. What is left is at best partial. In the mid-1920s, no one could think of a reason to keep the mass of official documents relating to such a relatively narrow aspect of the war. So no one did. Thus, the history had to be written with what was left. And it turned out that what was left was enough. I began to gather testimonies of individuals, most of them unpublished, and bring them together in a collective narrative. Some were tucked into a file in an archive, faded and almost forgotten. Some were just a page or a fragment from a hastily scribbled letter home. Others were well-organized, neatly written accounts, spanning the entire course of the war. There was the rough and unschooled voice of the stretcher-bearer and the smooth, educated prose of the surgeon's memoir. Nurses' diaries told of the dreadful nights when they were almost overwhelmed by casualties, coming to them straight from the Somme, but also of how they coped living so close to the war. Orderlies wrote of the unexpected moments of happiness they experienced, moments that could confound them as much as the never-ending violence of the front. Some of the most valuable testimony came from a group without previous medical training or experience, the Army Chaplain.
Sample complete. Ready to continue?